piles of black ribbon on the lone highway. Men turn into boys on the lone highway. Rest up creeps cry on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Alright, Revolution Radio, it's Saturday, and it's time for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show with your host, Scorpio. Lost a little honey on the lone highway.
Let me pour another. Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is Saturday, November 7, 2020. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, we have breaking news. Yeah, Biden, Groper Joe, has been declared the winner of the selection. Oh, I mean election. The election, yes. After gaining a win in Pennsylvania, boy, guys, this is the most blatant fraud I have ever seen in my life. Unbelievable. He was down more than 5 points on election night, right? And then he comes from behind for the win with 90% of the mail-in votes going for Groper Joe. You know, this is like a Stalin-style election, isn't it? And it's like you vote for Groper Joe or else. This is really unbelievable. I am in a state of shock here, to be honest. Well, you know, I've been calling this for a while, that Groper Joe was going to be the winner, because if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, this is the only way forward for them. Trump has outlived his usefulness. They don't need some guy in there for another 4 years saying the right thing at the wrong time, or the wrong thing at the right time, depending on how you look at it. So from the AP article, I'm just going to read a sentence here. Biden, 77, staked his candidacy less on any distinctive political ideology than on galvanizing a broad coalition of voters around the notion that Trump posed an existential threat to American democracy. So people didn't vote for Groper Joe for anything other than President Trump was a threat to our democracy. Yeah, guys, this is unbelievable. Yeah, let's say it all together. He's a threat to our democracy. That's the mantra we are hearing from the mainstream media nonstop. And isn't it amazing how we truly have an absolutely unified voice here against the president and for Joe Biden? And in fact, you're going to hear, and I'm already starting to notice this, you're going to hear, you know, the mainstream media will be the voice of the Biden presidency. There will be no dissent on anything. And he's going to unify the country. That's what they're trying to tell us. And guys, look, we're in endgame now. They don't care who knows anymore that they stole this election. Okay? We're in endgame. And it's like, you know, Trump is losing to a man whose only campaign promises have been to enact a national mask mandate, raise taxes, enact severe gun control, and re-enter the Paris Climate Accord Agreement or treaty. Yeah. And of course, you know, even before Groper Joe was declared the winner, you heard a lot of experts and even people from the Biden camp saying that what we really need, the first order of business is going to be to enact a national strategy to combat the coronavirus. And that will be the first order of business. And of course, that is simply code for national lockdowns. National lockdowns and a national mask mandate indoors and outdoors. And again, if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, this is the only way forward. They've got most of Europe reenacting a second lockdown. And in fact, in hour three, we're going to talk to an old buddy of mine, Steve from the UK. He's going to tell us what's going down there in London and how crazy things have gotten there. You know, I watched a little bit of the protest rally or the march that happened through the streets of London the other night. And of course, there was quite a few people there, and it ended in the cops rounding people up and doing mass arrests, tackling people in the streets and beating them up for daring to walk outside and defying the king's orders. Oh, I mean the prime minister's orders. Yes, the prime minister's orders. Sorry about that. Yeah. So these jackbooted thugs were tackling and beating people up simply for daring to walk down the street. This is unbelievable. And, you know, I'm really learning to look at things from the point of view of the conspirators because their course of action becomes very clear once you do that. Groper Joe is going to form a cabinet very rapidly. He has to, because that will make any, attempt from President Trump to fight this in court because, hey, we're already forming a government. You're standing in the way of our democracy, pal. Get out of office. And, you know, it's really interesting. This started, maybe a couple weeks ago. The mainstream media had these discussions about, what happens if the president refuses to leave office? What do we do about that? You know, how do we remove the president physically from office if he won't leave? And they've been having more and more of those discussions. And now, earlier this morning before this news broke, the mainstream media was saying that, it turns out that the opposing candidate does not have to concede the election. That is not necessary. It's only been a courtesy, and it's not necessary. So they are paving the way to ramrod Groper Joe down everyone's throats, and they don't care now. Who knows? And, of course, just like I thought, more and more of these phony Republicans are already turncoating and bringing out the long knives for Trump. Big, fatty Chris Christie has already been doing that. And, of course, Mitt Romney, who I believe they're positioning to be the new leader of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, the vulture capitalist, the man who made his billions on the destruction of people's jobs and people's companies, simply buying up companies, firing everybody, dismantling the company and selling off its assets. That's been his road to wealth, fame, and power. What a guy. But I think Mitt Romney is being positioned to be the new voice of the Republican Party. So yeah, we're in endgame now, guys. We are in endgame. They don't care. Who knows? I mean, the evidence of fraud is so blatant and unsubstantiated claims about voter irregularities and voter fraud. And, you know, in one of the most stunning moments I've ever seen, I just happened to be on the Fox News feed live during that speech where Trump was saying, hey, you know, we're going to fight this. This is all fraud. They removed him and said, we're going to have to cut the feed here because the president is lying. There's no such thing as voter fraud. It doesn't exist. One commentator went as far as to say that looking for voter fraud in America is like searching for the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. That's the word for today for me. Unbelievable. And of course, you know, it's true to some degree that there's no proof of voter fraud. That's true to some degree, but only because the only way to prove voter fraud is to go in and forensically examine tranches of the votes from every county, from every state that's in, question on this election. Okay? Doing a vote recount won't do diddly squat. It won't do shit 0.5. Because the results will come up essentially the same. You've got to go through there and look at whole tranches of votes from every county. Like, okay, is the person that voted even alive? You know, is he 150 years old or is this person actually alive? Does this person actually live in the state? Is his, address and signature verifiable? And is this person even an American citizen? Those are the things that are going to have to be looked into forensically. But I'm telling you, it will not be allowed. They're going to go ahead and do these. We'll do a vote recount because this is all transparent, don't you know? But it's not going to mean shit 0.5 because the results will come up essentially the same. And they're going to go, oh, hey, sorry, we did a vote recount and it's all legit. You know, it's all legit, just like this coronavirus. It's all real, guys, even though there's no proof it even exists. No proof whatsoever. Yeah. And isn't it convenient now that in the last couple of days, they've shattered all records for coronavirus positive cases in the last few days. 120,000 positive cases daily now, which would mean more than a million tests per day. It's a million nasal rapes with a giant Q-tip and being processed in some kind of laboratory every day. I just simply don't believe that, but that's what they're telling us. And of course, this is all perfect timing for the need for a national coronavirus task force and a national coronavirus plan, which of course is just code for lockdowns and not allowing you out of your house without permission from the king. I mean, the government. Yeah, guys, unbelievable. And, I was just looking through some statistics. It's not terribly relevant now, but I'm just going to mention it in passing. They've got us all focused on these four or five states that are in contention. But, meanwhile, Trump won Oklahoma, Nebraska, Alabama, Alaska, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Mississippi by 60%+. A lot of those are 65%. Okay. And Biden got 30%, 30%+ in those states. And yet Biden's the victory president. This is unbelievable. Yeah, so over 60% in all of those states. And in Wyoming, he won by 70%. I mean, I have never seen numbers like this. All of these numbers indicate a massive landslide. Massive. And I got involved in following politics and the analysis of politics in the early 1980s as a political cartoonist during the Reagan era. And numbers like this are really unprecedented, winning 70% of the vote and then losing the election. And of course, Trump won Kentucky by over 60%, but then the people of Kentucky turned around and voted for a Democrat governor. I don't believe that for a minute. It doesn't make any sense. But again, I don't think they care if this makes any sense. As long as it's on TV, the vast majority of people are going to believe it to be true. They pulled off this fake pandemic through the use of television, and they're pulling off a fake election now, all through the use of television. When I was going back to my house today, I saw this young guy riding a bicycle with his mask on. And I was thinking to myself, this guy's wearing a mask while he's riding his bike because he saw it on television. That's the only reason he's doing it. And I've already had it confirmed from several people that up in the hills, in all the indigenous communities, nobody is sick, and all the indigenous know something is really wrong with what they're doing. Yet that kid was riding around with a mask on because he saw it on TV. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I want to just thank everyone for coming aboard. We got people in the chat room in Revolution Radio and here on YouTube. Lots of good comments coming in. And, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see what happens. We are in uncharted territory now, guys. And they've got to get America on the same footing as Europe now. That's going to be the first order of business. There's no question. Lockdowns are coming for your own protection, of course. And the real reason for these lockdowns is to destroy the economy so they can bring out this new system. But first, they've got to destroy everyone's ability to make a living without getting a government check. The government's got to come in and save you and give you guys a check. But slowly but surely, more and more requirements will be made in order to get that money. You can count on it, just like clockwork. And, you know, I watched this video with that Steve Pachenik guy saying that, oh, this is the big trap, you know, the watermarks on the ballots are going to prove everything, you know, all these people are going to be arrested starting tonight. That was two nights ago. Of course, it's not going to happen. It's sort of the last gasp of the Q information, is that's how I see it. And I just don't see how the media is going to back down from where they are now. You know, we have a new president, and anyone that says otherwise is against democracy. No more baseless claims of conspiracy. Oh, and by the way, there's 33 people in the chat room right now at Revolution Radio. Okay, yeah, that magic number, guys, 33. Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, hey, I don't believe in violence. Violence is bad. I agree. I don't like violence either. But you know what? Violence is coming towards us. Oh, yeah. People that don't submit, you know, people in London don't have the right to walk down the street without being subjected to violence. So it's all going to come down to, are we just going to take it and be led to our slaughter? Or are people going to resist and refuse to comply? Because we do have the numbers, even with all the mindless mask wearers. I don't know how many people were on the streets in London. It's hard to judge, but I mean, the streets were packed in both directions. It was hard to tell. I'm sure Steve might have more information on that, but it was a whole lot of people. And I'll tell you what, the cops didn't hesitate to start bashing people's heads into the sidewalk. It was disturbing to see. And I remember, too, you know, when they did all the restrictions on weapons in the U.K., they pointed out that, oh, you know, the police don't need guns in the U.K. They just have a bobby stick, you know. And I noticed all the cops in London all had guns now. Isn't that interesting? And I think they've gone so far as to regulate how long of a knife you're allowed to buy in England. Gee, I wonder why. So violence is coming to people whether they like it or not. Because this will be done through force as we go on here. And as the mask comes off of this government and governments worldwide, as the mask comes off, no pun intended, we are going to see the true nature of tyranny and violence towards citizens who do not comply to their mandates, no matter how ridiculous these mandates are, and no matter how much freedom is destroyed in the process. It's all for your protection, guys. Never forget that, right? I mean, who would have ever thought we'd be living in a time where the government is trying to tell you You are not allowed to have people over to your house for Thanksgiving. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. And, you know, I'm seeing signs everywhere that this coronavirus hoax is just beginning. I went to the market today. There's a big market here. And I noticed that they were starting to put up these plexiglass shields in front of the individual stalls. That was for the first time, even though no one's sick here. And that's got to be quite a burden on these people that, you know, have small little stalls in the market. It's not like they're getting rich. And they're being mandated to put up these plexiglass sheets or you cannot do business. Yeah, so a concession from Trump is not necessary. That's the newest thing we're hearing. It's only a courtesy. It's only a courtesy. And apparently they have plans in place to remove an unwanted guest from the White House. So things are going to get loco real quick. So people better be ready. And quit believing that there's these group of white hats that are going to come save us all. I hope that's true, but I don't see any indication of it whatsoever. Governments worldwide are colluding under the umbrella of, you know, one single cabal. And they're acting in unison. So I think we're going to see lockdowns all over the world, not just in the United States. And, you know, Trump is vowing to take it to the Supreme Court and this court case and that court case. Sorry, I just think that the courts are so corrupt, especially at the higher levels, that it ain't going to go anywhere. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have the future in a secret book here. But, you know, I think Trump is finished. And if you think that, you know, the courts are legitimate, you know, look what happened to Jim Fetzer. You know, whether or not you agree with what he put in his book or not, that doesn't really matter. I mean, the guy should have a right to write whatever he wants to in a book and sell it. And whoever wants to buy the book can buy it. But what happened? Instead, he gets hit with, you know, in the end, nearly $1 million between the judgment and having to pay for the other side's attorney. Almost $1 million for what, two or three, four sentences in a book, in a fairly obscure book. So the issue here is free speech and its implications and what could potentially happen to you if you say or write the wrong thing. They'll drag you into court and give you a real good screwing. So I don't think any of these cases with Trump are going to go anywhere. And they're going to say, hey, we counted the votes. We recounted the votes. It's we're off by 230 votes, but it won't change the results. And, you know, we're not going to see the kind of forensic examination of these ballots that we need. That's the only way to get proof of voter fraud. And, of course, on a show a couple of days ago with Jim Fetzer and Carl Herman, Carl Herman brought up the point, well, what happened to all the exit polling? We used to have exit polling as a secondary method of verifying election results. And, of course, that's out the window because of COVID and the mail-in ballots. You can't have exit polling with mail-in ballots, can you? So, you know, this all leads to a certain level of technocracy. Just we're going to run all the ballots through this computer and just trust the results because we say so. And, oh, by the way, you have COVID. It doesn't matter if you have any symptoms. According to this lab test, you have COVID. So get in your house and stay there until we say you can leave your house. Yeah, so I'm in shock, but I'm not in shock because this is what I saw coming. I think I was one of the few hosts to say that Biden was going to win, and I take no joy in being correct in that. I was always hoping that I was wrong, but here we are. And, you know, lastly, I want to bring up this idea that, you know, of communism. And a lot of people wonder, well, why would capitalist corporations support communism? Well, if you look at it, it's very simple. All corporations work towards a monopoly. That's their goal, really, isn't it? They want to destroy the competition, get as much market share as they can, and wipe out their competition. That's the end game, isn't it? Wiping out your competition, and that's called a monopoly. And what is communism? Communism is essentially the lack of competition, because under communism, only the corporations that the government deems to be allowed to exist will exist. And as Mike Gatti has so aptly pointed out on numerous occasions, governments will always descend into tyranny. If you study history, there isn't a single case where that hasn't happened. And it's happening now in spades. We have a government that's descending into tyranny, but it'll have a happy face of Joe Biden. He's going to unify our country, guys. We'll all be wearing masks, and we'll all be locked in our houses for our own security. It's for your own good, guys. Yeah, and really, if you look at it, all these big tech companies are monopolies, essentially. I mean, there's a few small challenges to Google and Facebook and YouTube, but, you know, they're pretty inconsequential. And that's why we're seeing this outrageous behavior of these companies. It's clear they don't really care about making money anymore. And, you know, I remember when these big tech companies were first starting to really come onto the scene and get big. I remember one day I was at the store and I saw on the back of a bag of chips, a Facebook page and a Twitter page. I thought to myself, why would you care about, the Facebook bags from a company that makes a bag of chips, you know? But really what they were doing is pushing these companies at every level on TV shows, the news, and even on bags of chips. Amazing. And here we are now with a monopoly, and they're behaving like they have a monopoly too, aren't they? They don't care what you think. We'll just ban you. We don't care how many users we have. It doesn't matter, because it's not about making money. It's about controlling the flow of information. That's what it's all about. Okay, well, with that said, I want to bring on my main man and co-host, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. How are you, sir?
Well, I am living the dream, Scorpio. How about you? Great intro. Hit all the points. Yeah, it was pretty obvious to me when the I really thought, because the Zionists control Trump so completely, that they were going to give him a second term. But when, you know, election night, it was clear he won legitimacy, and then boom, they dropped the hammer and flood with all these phony ballots, and suddenly the great hypnotic entrainment portals, the mass media, and now the new censoring digital social media all get in lockstep as the globalist tools that they are, and claim Biden is winning and elections are have integrity. What a crock of shit. It's funny that Jimmy Carter, who was a tool of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission when he was president, he didn't realize how he was being played. But he is a decent man, a decent Christian man, and he's gone all over the world as part of an international team to certify elections are honest and have some type of validity. And he has publicly stated on multiple occasions that the worst, most corrupt election system in the world is the United States election system. It's always being stolen. I mean, people don't even talk about how easy it is to hack those Diebold machines and to hack into the digital tallying points of each state. It's ridiculously easy.
And Jim Fetzer, which I want to reply to, you mentioned his satanically evil lawsuit that Kangaroo Court he lost. But Jim Fetzer's had this statistician on Richard Sharnan multiple times for interviews. And Sharnan is, I don't know if he's a PhD or not, but he's a master bean counter, and he is like, you know, runs the statistics of how these elections should run. And all the time the globalist candidate wins somehow. What are the odds?
It is, yeah, it's incredible, Giuseppe. And I'm just flabbergasted by this whole thing. You know, I remember when we were doing the live show on the debate coverage with Jim, maybe an hour before we started coverage at 8 p.m., I was watching the mainstream media, and they had Trump up over 5 points in Virginia, right? And then as soon as we got on the air, they declared Biden the victor an hour later. I mean, how could the count be altered so quickly in 1 hour? I mean, there had to be a big tranche of votes that came in that were, 99.9% Joe Biden votes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that was rigged, man. What I thought has just been laughable for these last 4 years is people who you think are somewhat sharp. Like, the guy who comes to my mind is this guy, Dave Janda, who's like a know-it-all kind of patriot who has his own radio, internet radio system. And he was with John B. Wells for a while and then went off on his own. And he's like, I have these connections of generals and deep connections within the Trump administration, and cue this and cue this and trust the plan. And there's even been some hosts in Revolution Radio who seem to be bright people, but believed all that Q bullshit. It's a flipping psyop. I almost used the real word I wanted to use. And anybody who's CIA in the public square, Robert David Steele, Gordon Duff, Steve Pachenik, they are all raping your mind. There is no former CIA whistleblower of any clout, any status within the agency that is going to be allowed to go public like that. They are all running apps, and the ops rather. That's just the name of that. If they were a real threat, they would have died of a heart attack years ago with the, or fast acting cancer.
Well, and I'll tell you, I had a close family member that was underwater demolition team in Korea, and got involved in some intelligence work afterwards. Very strange story. I'll have to go into the whole story sometime. But he told me about the level of threats that people get that were involved in intelligence agencies and step out of line. He actually lived in fear about his own personal safety years after he got out of the business. And he even told me a story about how one guy was threatened by these people that if he didn't keep his mouth closed, they'd send him pieces of his family back in little boxes, through the mail. So that's the kind of threats people actually deal with in real life. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And Pachenik was on 2 days ago, talking about how the arrests were going to begin tonight, and that these watermarks were going to prove the fraud, so.
Yeah, and I love how he's the classic thing, like Janda. They you'd think they were Jewish in the way they lecture us and know better. It's like, give me a break. They're you can't be that stupid. So are they part of the op? Clearly.
Yeah, and Mitzi's kind of agreeing with what we're saying about Q. The last radio station I had a show on, there were a lot of Q believers constantly telling me, just wait. Wait for what, man? Yeah, it's been 4 years. Where's the sealed indictments and the mass arrests and the frog walk into Gitmo Bay? This was just a plan to keep everyone sort of in stasis and just waiting for, you know, the white hats to come save them.
Well, that's just it. That's the constant operant conditioning of especially America and its perpetual 6-year-old population. Either you're a liberal and you think everybody's equal and oh, Black lives, they matter so much, and oh, Antifa, they're so noble. And so you want the nanny state for your 6-year-old immaturity, or you've got conservatives who are slightly more mature, but they want the daddy state, and America is America exceptionalism, and it's the best ever, and everything we do is so noble, and they're both so immature and deluded and mind-raped. It's laughable to me. Neither is true. America is a dirty, dirty henchman, the Luca Brasi for the globalist Don Corleone. We have intervened on the wrong side. World War I was for the internationalist Jew. World War II was for the internationalist Jew. You tick down everything the military has gotten involved with. It's always for the satanic globalists, not for the people of this country.
Yeah, and Morpheus is saying, Scorp, stop saying Biden won. He didn't. This is a coup d'etat. Stop feeding and supporting the lie. Well, you know, I agree. I'm just reporting on what, you know, the mainstream media is telling people. I don't agree with it for a minute. I wouldn't believe, you know, anything the mainstream media says. If they said it was sunny outside, I wouldn't believe it until I looked out the window. But unfortunately, the vast majority of people, if they see it on TV, then it's real. And Lady Horse is saying that that he's projected winner, not the winner. The AP had an article declaring him the winner. He's the next president. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I think it's a, you know, what are your thoughts, Giuseppe?
It's a fait accompli. It's already done. When they started to roll out the insane lies that, oh, the people who are so afraid of the common cold, they're going to mail in their ballots, and everybody wear a mask and mail in your ballot. And you think that the old people who fell for that are all going to only vote for Biden? It should have statistically spread to maybe 55 Biden, 45 Trump, which again then means Trump wins with over 300 electoral votes. It's a scam, and they do it because people like us who see what's going on, they're mocking us. They love it because the great herd, you know, once there were millions upon millions of bison and buffalo in this country, and now there's millions upon millions of boobus Americanas who believe the mind control of the mainstream media and now the social media. So it's over. If anyone is weak-minded enough to believe that somehow Trump will produce a smoking gun and he's going to heroically win the election, wake up and look at how this country and the Western globalist world operates. They have installed Biden, and that is that.
Yeah, yeah, and you made a good point about the mail-in ballots. Like, you know, if it was all these old people that were afraid to vote, there should have been a lot of votes for Trump. But and then look, if 90% of these mail-in ballots really are for Biden, which I don't believe for a minute, then the initial results should have been much higher for Trump, right? If everyone standing out there in line voting was voting for Trump, then he should have been way, way, way ahead. But instead he wasn't. This whole thing doesn't add up if you start picking it apart. It's ridiculous.
Nothing adds up. That's just it. It's all a scam. You've got literally a satanic black magic practitioners who, as the great Rush Winter was observing last night on The Perfect Triangle from winterwatch.net. What a great guy, man. We got to bring him back often. is he's saying, look, and he gave the great analogy that you're sitting there and you're watching TV, and all of a sudden out of the corner of your eye, your neighbor who you trust and he's your best friend is feeling up your wife, and you're like, nah, can't be. And then a little later you see in the corner of your eye, he's making out with your wife. Nah, can't be. And then a little later, he's fornicating with your wife. Nah, can't be. That's the kind of dark magic, mental voodoo, mojo, whatever. That's what they do to the average boobus Americanus. And that's why if you don't have a strong mind, a strong spiritual practice, you're nothing but a goyim. You're nothing but a cattle to them. And you're so easily manipulated. It's embarrassing. And it's like, I see through this. Oh, I've seen through this shit for 40 years. And you try to tell people, and you know, what's cool about hooking up with Revolution Radio is a lot of people here get it. And you know, but the great masses, they don't get it. And that's why it keeps working.
Yeah. And, Giuseppe, Morpheus in the chat room has a question. And, Giuseppe, are you saying we should just submit, turn in our guns and start marching into the FEMA camps? Why don't you take that first, and then I'll pick it up after you.
No, I'm not saying that in the least. I'm saying that you will inevitably become part of the North American Union. They are going all in for Agenda 2030. Morpheus, they can squash you like a bug any second they choose to do so. I don't care if you have your 50 caliber machine gun set up in your garage. They don't care about you. And in any moment, they could wipe you out in a second. That's not the point. The only point is the guns don't matter. What matters is don't participate. If you think you can change things, don't get a vaccine. Don't vote. I mean, set up some kind of independent, small, rural cooperative or something, but it's not, even that's not going to work. I mean, they just have so these armies and technology and power of military. And now that the Israelization of the police force, the only hope we have, well, there is no hope. It's happening. Like they show that video, in 10 years, you won't own anything and you'll be happy. I should play that later on the StreamYard side. You'll rent everything and you'll be happy because a drone will deliver you things. You won't eat much meat. You'll need to take vaccines. It's all coming. You can't do a thing about it, man. The only thing that could change it is if hundreds of millions of people in this country said F you and changed it, and we had the people skilled in Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, hunt down and surgically sanction and eliminate George Soros, hunt down and surgically eliminate Schumer and Cheney and all these traitors. And you take out a couple thousand of those satanic traitors, the country can, and we have the full force and glory of the military backing our currency, nothing would really have to change, and we would eliminate that satanic threat. Do you actually think there's enough courageous people to do that in this country? Don't make me laugh.
Yeah, well, you know, what I see is, first of all, the only good thing about what's happening now is that it needs to become clear to everyone that this government is our enemy, and it's only going to get worse. We don't look for the government to solve any of this. They are behind it. Secondly, people are going to have to learn to not participate and not submit. We're all going to have to make some very tough choices coming up that are going to affect our lives and the lives of our families. Either we start standing up and refuse to comply immediately, or we're just going to be marched into our own slaughter. Because I'm telling you right now, a big part of what's going to go down is depopulation, and vaccinations are going to be the primary tool for that. And it's even possible that we're heading into a situation where food might be difficult to get your hands on, unless you're getting it from the government. I mean, if you've seen, you know, the footage on the news of just miles of people in their cars waiting to get a handout of food, and it's always a guy in a military outfit handing out the food. I think this is part of an indoctrination process to get people used to, well, the government's going to hand out food to you. You'll get your allotment of food, and it'll be done by a guy in a military outfit.
You know, Danny Samaj makes an excellent point on YouTube, and he says, all you have to do is look at the mask wearers, compliance slaves. We are toasted. That's exactly right. The fact that the American public is like the frog that was put in lukewarm water. This feels pretty good. On a slow heat, you know, it's getting a little warmer. I'm so relaxed. I feel good. And suddenly you're boiled to death. And that is what's gone on since they did the ritualistic murder of John F. Kennedy Jr., the last legitimate president of the United States.
And well, that's the true. Last... Giuseppe, and you know, let's remember too that nobody was ever punished for that crime, and the same cabal that pulled that brazen act, literally in broad daylight, were not punished. And it's just human nature that, therefore, their behavior is going to get worse and worse and worse, and we're seeing that come to fruition now. And as Mike Gatti has pointed out so many times, all governments turn tyrannical. It's just sort of a natural process that happens. And we are at endgame with that now. Who would have ever thought that we would have governors trying to tell people that you can't have people over for Thanksgiving and just wait until Christmas? You're going to see a real war on Christmas coming up too, guys.
Yep. It's just tragic, man. It's tragic. And the funny thing is it's like, well, man, you're so negative, Giuseppe. You don't believe in the power of America, man. It's like, I think it's all a joke, but I also understand that I am animated by an eternal soul, right? And the corporeal soul in Oriental medicine, which has it right, there's two souls. There's the corporeal soul, the Po, which is, you know, that low-life, deviant Shlomo Freud calls the ego. But anything Shlomo Freud said offends me, and I won't even use his verbiage, is you have a corporeal soul. That's our consciousness. That's what's in this body. And then you have the immortal soul, which animates us and everything else. And so the immortal soul is like your higher self, your intuitive voice. It's trying to help you, but it's not in the driver's seat of this illusion of life. And so I champion my beliefs and my moral system. And at some point they're going to kill me because I'm not taking the vaccines. I'm not going to comply with any of it. I don't wear a mask. I will never wear a mask. And so at some point it's going to get ugly. You know, I'm going to take a few with me. I have three war wolves who will die with me. And that's just life. I don't care. I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And so I also know that doing and serving the divine energy, divine love, the Christ consciousness, if you want to call it, the pure love, it is the right path. And I will never serve satanic evil. I will never serve any type of evil. And, you know, I don't mind getting my hands dirty to serve a greater goal in this realm. But, you know, I don't, you know, if they shoot me in the head tomorrow, that's what's done. I'm still gonna live forever where it matters, the eternal soul.
Yeah, well, we're all gonna have to make some very tough decisions, and things are gonna get real now, and things are gonna be, you know, you can say what you want about Trump. I think the best you could say for him is that he managed to put the brakes on this agenda. And now that we're seeing, you know, the coronation of Groper Joe and, more importantly, Kamala Harris, we're going to see a full steam ahead here now. And I think the first course of action is going to be this national lockdown to destroy the economy. And, you know, Blackbird9 in the chat room just said, The networks hath spoken. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's interesting. Talk about lockdowns. Have you seen this insane fear op in Denmark where they're going to kill 1.5 million minks because they claim that it's jump species? It's just such a joke. The chances of a bug, even a weaponized attenuated bioweapon like SARS-CoV-2, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. And then you look at, did you look up who is the Minister of Health for Denmark? It's this 700-pound female walking side of beef that's so morbidly obese. I can't believe she doesn't just fall over dead of a fat, choked heart.
Well, let me tell you a story, man. Well, first of all, I agree with what you're saying about this. And the point is to make people afraid of nature and to destroy whatever industry, whatever business they choose to in the name of COVID. And we'll see more of this as time goes on. And speaking of a big fat woman, you know, just the other day I was in the coffee shop and this fat woman came in and told me that I need to put my mask on. And I got right in her face and told her, look, whether you know it or not, you are actively participating in the destruction of human freedom forever with what you're doing. So just know that and remember what I told you. And, you know, that I wanted to tell her, look, if you're worried about your health, how about you drop 100 pounds, okay? I didn't say that, but I was tempted to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, literally, I urge everyone to use the search engine of their choice and look up Denmark Minister of Health. And if that isn't like a Farrelly brothers gross, you know, humor, dark humor, there's nothing like it just gets more and more insane.
Yeah. It's funny, man. You know, these people that are 100 pounds overweight, they're worried about you not wearing a mask. And it's like, hey, how about you look at your in the mirror? You're fat. That's unhealthy. Do something about it. But instead, they want to project onto someone else their own fears of death and their own fears of their own physical well-being. It's a sad situation. And, yeah, you know, this thing about killing the minks, you're just going to see more and more things just wiped out because of COVID. And also they want to instill the fear of nature. Well, any animal might have COVID and they might spread it to you. So you better just stay in your house where you're safe and go ahead and, you know, ball up into a fetal position under your bed and just wait until further orders from the king.
The Tony Baloney wrote hilarious, Giuseppe, you're wrong. It's Biden. You will get shot in the head. Giuseppe's just getting shot in the leg. I actually have been shot in the leg before with an arrow, it really hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of good comments coming in from the chat rooms, man. I appreciate everyone's perspective. And it's just good to see how many informed people are aboard and listening, man, because you can get a little down when you're out in the general population and have to deal with the low level of stupidity of people that is just staggering sometimes, you know?
Yeah, here's another great one, Tony Baloney. She's not fat. She's just big bone.
She's husky.
She's husky. You know, and the sad fact is that I have a belly from stress eating because I came from a dysfunctional family. And when I'm in a good space, I am in good shape and I work out, but when this kind of insanity hits, I am functionally depressed and I eat things that aren't good for me. And it's like, it's better than turning to alcohol like my parents or drugs like my friends who are now dead. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But ultimately, if you can find the discipline, don't carry a lot of extra weight. It's really not good for you.
Yeah, and EAH in the chat room is saying, the most striking thing about any scene of the average American crowd is how many people are obese or overweight. And, you know, I think some of that's due to the GMO food and just the all the processed food Americans have been handed. But I've been noticing the same thing when you see footage of people on the news. It's like the average American person you see is 50 pounds overweight, man. And it's just it's depressing. I remember when Americans were really good looking and fit. You know, even in the 80s, people were, you know, into lifting weights and exercising and looking good. And now it's just be a big fat pig and stay at home and be afraid of COVID.
Yep. It's so true. It's so sadly true. Yeah.
Well, oh, I got to say one top of the hour. Next hour, we're going to bring on John Friend, and we're going to talk about what is going down at this crazy announcement that Groper Joe is going to be coronated president. And of course, it is possible that some of these court cases will go somewhere. Some people are saying that. I hope it's true. But my own personal intuition, what I see, where this is going, I just don't think it's going to happen. But I sincerely hope I'm 100% wrong.
There is a precedent at the Supreme Court level, and that is Bush v. Gore. And they were like, for the good of the country, we're calling the election. They're going to do the exact same thing, but this time for Biden.
Yeah. All right. That's a great place to stop. Good point, Giuseppe. All right, guys, hang in there. We'll be right back for hour number two. Okay, guys, welcome back to hour number two of Operation Scorpio. And today we're dealing with the proclamation from the mainstream media that Groper Joe has won, despite all the facts, never mind any of that. We say Groper Joe wins, and that's the end of the story. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring on John Friend. John, how are you, sir?
Hey guys, I am doing good. I am watching the media gaslight the American public to an extreme I don't think I've ever witnessed in my life, which is saying something. I mean, they're literally just it's opposite world now with the media. It's incredible. But, you know, this was probably to be expected leading up to this election. We knew it was going to be contested. You know, like you guys, I'm sure I'm in California. When I went to bed on election night, it looked pretty clear that Trump was in a commanding lead in all of these key states. And then you wake up the next morning and whoops, they found all these Joe Biden ballots mysteriously and totally shot. You know, of course, it again should be expected, but very, very shady election we have that is going to, I think it's going to be proven in court that a lot of this stuff is fraudulent. And
we'll see. I hope it does, John. You know, it's interesting. I had the same experience. You know, I was following the election till maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we did a live coverage with Jim Fetzer and Giuseppe. And I remember, you know, about an hour before we went on the air at 8 o'clock, Trump was ahead by 5 points in Virginia. And then literally an hour later, they called the election in Virginia for Joe Biden. How would that even be possible?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, most of the night, I think if he wasn't up, he was neck and neck in Virginia. And, you know, that was a state that – well, and again, and Trump, to his credit, has pointed a lot of this out, you know, how the polls were so off. And you know, again, talk about media gaslighting. That's another good example, you know, saying Biden was in the lead, in commanding lead leading up to the election in all of these key states. None of that turned out to be the case. The Republicans did very well, you know, across the country, really. And somehow that isn't reflected in the presidential race. I mean, all of this is – none of this adds up. And people are seeing through this. And this is not going to stand. I mean, Trump is going to fight this. You know, even if it means doing it largely by himself, and the GOP isn't even going to help him, which seems to be the case. So this is going to drag on, and you know, the media simply does not get to declare who the next president is. That's for sure.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, they're saying now that it's not necessary for the president to concede the election. That's merely a courtesy. So you know, I John, I just. How would this happen, though, where in court, Trump overturns enough of the elections, or how do you see that coming out where he can overturn this?
You know, that's a good question, and I honestly I don't know. I really don't have a good answer to that. I've been reading a lot. You know, a lot of people are saying that it's going to have to be the electors that are sent to the Electoral College that are going to have to, you know, to prevent this country, to prevent the election from being stolen, and to prevent the Democrats from taking over the country illegally. And I mean, to me, that seems to be really the only option. I don't have trust in the courts. I mean, we've already seen a lot of the litigation that the Trump campaign and the Trump administration have brought up in some of these states get thrown out and just rejected by the judge offhand. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's good. I think that he should try to pursue, you know, litigation and legal recourse where he can. But ultimately, I think it's probably going to come down to these, in many cases, Republican dominated state legislatures selecting, you know, electoral candidate or electoral college electors that'll go in there and actually vote for Trump. So I don't know. It's going to be chaotic, whatever happens. It already has been, you know, pretty chaotic. This whole year has been totally chaotic. And you know what? The more I think about it, the more I think that this COVID scam was not only, you know, brought to the fore to implement this sort of new world order, tyrannical, you know, medical tyranny, but also to facilitate this election fraud by,
absolutely,
you know, yeah.
And look how we've seen the deaths of exit polling because of this. That used to be one of the primary methods by which you're able to verify the vote. That's out the window now because of COVID. And you can see, you know, they've used COVID to cover up this election on many fronts. If we didn't have this COVID hoax, it'd be clear that Joe Biden doesn't have any support at all.
Well, that's clear even with the COVID hoax. I mean, talk about gaslighting. I mean, here's Trump going around the country. Literally 50,000 people at least are coming out to see him at every one of these speeches, every one of these rallies. You know, even here in Southern California where I'm at, you see Trump caravans and, you know, Trump supporters everywhere. No, there's no enthusiasm for the Democrats, no enthusiasm for Biden. Anybody that did actually vote for Biden voted for him just because they hate Trump so much. It's not even as if they really genuinely supported Biden. They just, you know, they just have this deep-seated, hysterical, irrational hatred for the president. And a lot of that is fueled by the dishonest, lying, fake news media. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. I mean, just the reality that people see, you know, on the ground, on television, you know, at these rallies, you know, Trump has all the support, all the enthusiasm, all the momentum, despite the fake news, despite the fake polls. And yet here's the media telling you that Biden won 75 million votes across the country. Give me a break. This is just, you know, again, upside down, opposite world.
So true, John. Man, I'm glad you're here. Again, just want to salute you for your brilliant efforts of truth-telling at the American Free Press and at your own website, therealistreport.com. And glad you're here. But I'd like to bounce this scenario off of you. I think personally what has occurred is this the globalist, the international Jew, the parasite that controls much of the world, was incensed that Trump, in a brilliant, brilliant hijacking of the Republican Party in 2016, because he appealed to populists and nationalists, got elected. And he was backed by Israel and their Unit 8200 hackers, because I think every election is hacked at the digital tabulation stage, not so much at the paper ballot stage. And so the globalists who want this new world order, the great reset, the new normal, the Green New Deal, Agenda 2030, are like, there is no way we are allowing Donald Trump to be reelected. That they do not want to empower nationalists and populists in any country. And so that is why we have this insane gaslighting about groper Joe Biden, who's an offensive, ridiculous pathetic candidate. And that's why they propped him up, because they really want to install the satanic succubus, the offensive and evil Kamala Harris as the president of the United States to destroy this sovereign republic. What do you think of that scenario?
Hey, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think you're probably right, man. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they put up this guy Biden, who didn't even really have a lot of support among Democrats. I mean, I can't remember the exact numbers in the Democratic primary, but I mean, you know, this guy is nothing but a career politician. He's in an empty suit. He basically is just up there to do the bidding of the people behind the scenes, and always has been. So yeah, it is total gaslighting. You know, they put this ridiculous candidate up there and tell us that 75 million people voted for this guy. Give me a break. How on earth is Trump losing key states that he won last election? Michigan and Wisconsin, you know, primarily, even Arizona, Georgia. He's, you know, it looks like he's going to, according to the media, tip to Biden. None of this adds up. None of this makes sense. And right. This is not going to stand. I mean, the president, his supporters are going to stand up to this. I feel pretty confident about that. I think it's going to be it's obviously going to be a tough legal battle, as we discussed. But you know, no one is going to be backing down from this, and it's going to be chaos. I mean, we already knew that, but it's yeah, man, it's gosh, crazy times to be alive, right?
Sure, and you know, as I was saying, you know, in the first hour. You know, just simply recounting the votes isn't going to do diddly squat. What they're going to have to do to, you know, the media keeps saying there's no proof of any election fraud. It doesn't exist in America. That's like looking for the Loch Ness monster. But what they're going to have to do is recounting the votes won't do it. They're going to have to go in and examine forensically whole tranches of votes in these disputed states and counties, county by county, and verify whether these votes are even legitimate. Is the person alive? Is the person an American citizen? Does the person even live in the state where they voted? I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going to have to be looked into.
Yeah, and frankly, I just don't see how that's going to happen. I mean, nobody trusts the system as it is. You know, I mean, right. The system itself is just so discredited at this point. I don't see how it's going to be fixed. I mean, it's going to come down to force. I mean, Trump is going to have to get out there and not necessarily use force, but neither side is going to concede, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Neither side is going to view the election result as legitimate. So it's just leading. It's going to lead to conflict and sort of a civil war. We've already seen like a low scale civil war taking place across the country for the past 4 years or more. I mean, including this year, you know, Trump supporters out there getting murdered in the streets of American cities, you know, and a lot of times the media is facilitating this, covering it up, justifying it. The Democrats go along with this. I mean, the Democrats are the party of Black Lives Matter and Antifa looting and destroying the country. You know, they're the ones running cover and giving justification for this sort of criminal mayhem taking place across the country. So,
well,
you know,
John,
this conflict
what are
has
you,
been going on.
What do you make of this this new meme that's going around the mainstream media that, you know, it's not necessary for the president to concede the election? That's just a courtesy. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, I know there's a number of like media talking points that have become increasingly more solidified as the days go on here. That's one of them. In the immediate aftermath, I mean, I follow like the New York Times and the LA Times. I just get their headlines every morning just to kind of see, you know, what the narrative is, what the official narrative is. And every single day from the election, it's Trump is baselessly saying that there's voter fraud. There, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. He's delusional. There's no evidence. Meanwhile, you go on social media and you follow an organization like Project Veritas, for example, and there's just example after example after example of all sorts of irregularities, of outright fraud, of deception, of corruption, all across the country, and it, certainly in a lot of these key states. So, you know, the media is and they were saying this leading up to the election. Will you concede, President Trump? Will you concede, as if they already knew, you know, Biden was going to win and that Trump was going to be forced to be in this situation?
Right. It's a good point.
So yeah, I mean, it's really just the media sort of trying to set the narrative and to sort of frame the conversation in a way that's favorable to this Democrat takeover, this attempted Democrat takeover and theft of the 2020 election.
Yeah, I think your superior minds think alike. The whole introduction for my show last night, The Perfect Triangle, was pointing out that we are in a gaslighting mind control operation that of epic proportions that's never been seen. And think about it. The COVID gaslight, the common cold is now the worst plague ever. The vaccine gaslight. Toxic and dangerous quackery. There's never been a safe or effective vaccine. They're deadly. They cause autism. But no, vaccines will deliver good health. The Holocaust gaslight. Labor camps for a bunch of poor patsies where a couple of 100,000 people died because the Allies destroyed the supply lines. And in no way, you take 20 minutes, you can realize there 6 million Jews never died in the lie of the Holocaust. The globalist communist agenda 2030 gaslight that it's better for you to give up all your property, to eat GMO food, to live in a cube, you know, I mean, it on and on. The glyphosate gaslight, the Black Lives Matters Antifa gaslight, the big tech censorship gaslight, that it's okay for these spineless little tech nerds to shut you down and steal your freedom of speech. The Green New Deal gaslight, where carbon monoxide, which feeds plants who then create more oxygen, is the new gassy terrorist. And I thought the gassy terrorist was that 600-pound health minister in Belgium. And the election gaslight, which we're just witnessing right now, it was obvious because, like Snippet says, remember, John, Snopes says Project Veritas is fake, right? The fact checkers are gaslighting us. Or the mass media. Oh, John, why do people believe all this utter bullshit?
Oh, I know. That's the million-dollar question. You know, another gaslight I have to get in there as well is this idea that white supremacist violence is the greatest threat to the country. I mean, that they were saying that leading up to the election as well. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are literally like destroying every major city across the country, looting and pillaging entire cities. So yeah, the gaslighting is endless, and people go along with it because they don't have any decent, honest people, you know, explaining this stuff to them. I mean, of course you can get that in the alternative independent media, but you know, most people just, they just go along with this nonsense. They've been psychologically abused for so long. It's like, you know, their minds have been totally poisoned. But that's changing, and I think that Trump has played a key role in that. I mean, that to me is, you know, I think objectively he's been a pretty big disappointment on a number of fronts, and he's gone along with a lot of this tyranny. He's gone along with the whole COVID hysteria, at least to a certain extent, when in reality he could have came out and you know, called bullshit on it from day one. But at the end of the day, I think his president, what he represents something that is a huge threat, as you were saying, to the, you know, to the New World Order agenda. And not only that, he has totally discredited and attacked the media to an extent that no other politician has done, and certainly in my lifetime, probably ever. I mean, that alone is a reason why I want to see him back in the White House, is because he's made people realize how totally dishonest and corrupt the media is. And they've made that very clear over the course of the past 4 years with their reporting, where it's one manufactured scandal after the next, all in order to discredit the president, to undermine the president, and I mean, to get him out of office, to impeach him, or to just to get him out in this election, which is what we're seeing play out before our very eyes.
So yeah. True. So what's been the overall like take on Trump, American Free Press? Has it been generally supportive, or have there been people that thought Trump was an actor or some kind of an asset of the deep state? What's been the general consensus there?
I think it's sort of mixed. I mean, you know, I've always supported the president. I was much more enthusiastic last election, obviously. Just because of the potential that I think he had. And you know, that to me is really the big story of his first term, is the squandered potential that he had to really, you know, enact some big time changes in this country. I actually just interviewed Don Jeffries, who's also a reporter for American Free Press, and he's got some good takes on Trump. I think overall the paper has been supportive of the president, obviously, but it's sort of nuanced. I think we're pretty objective. We support him when he deserves to be supported, and we criticize him when he deserves to be criticized. And I think, sadly, he deserves to be criticized a lot more than he deserves to be praised. But at the end of the day, I'm sort of – I don't know. I can see it both ways. I mean, I can see the argument that he basically is like just another political actor in this, you know, this stage-managed theater that we see that we call American politics. But also I think he – at times can act very bold and independent and say a lot of important things. You know, he's just, I don't know. He's to me, he's kind of hard to figure out because he does come across in many cases. You know, you look at, you watch like a press conference, like the one just the other day. And this guy, totally seems genuine, totally seems like his heart is in the right place and that he really cares about the country and he cares about the American people. And he's willing to stand up and fight this corrupt establishment. And then other times, you know, he totally disappoints. So I don't know. He's definitely a mixed bag, but I think it's fair to say that the newspaper. Well, and I don't necessarily speak for the newspaper, but I think it's fair to say that we would much rather see Donald Trump in office than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That's for sure. And you know, I was just looking at his statement from today after I think it was the Associated Press and the New York Times and ABC. They all basically called the election for Biden and started, you know, announced that Joe Biden officially defeated President Trump. He took Pennsylvania and, you know, all this other nonsense. And here's a statement from Trump just released this morning. I don't know if you guys have seen this or read. You want me to read it on air? It's not very long.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a statement from President Donald J. Trump, November 7th, 2020. We all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed. The simple fact is this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as the winner of any states, let alone any of the highly contested states headed for mandatory recounts, or states where our campaign has valid and legitimate legal challenges that could determine the ultimate victor. In Pennsylvania, for example, our legal observers were not permitted meaningful access to watch the counting process. Legal votes decide who is president, not the news media. Beginning Monday, our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. The American people are entitled to an honest election. That means counting all legal ballots and not counting any illegal ballots. This is the only way to ensure the public has full confidence in our election. It remains shocking that the Biden campaign refuses to agree with this basic principle and wants ballots counted, even if they are fraudulent, manufactured, or cast by ineligible or deceased voters. Only a party engaged in wrongdoing would unlawfully keep observers out of the count room and then fight in court to block their access. So what is Biden hiding? I will not rest until the American people have the honest vote count they deserve and that democracy demands. Very powerful statement. And
That's the kind of thing he was saying in his speech. Then the media literally cut him off. The television saying, "Oh, we can't allow this to continue. President Trump is lying, and we're going to cut him off like he's a child." Just amazing. I want to hand it over to Giuseppe, but I want to read a question to you, John, from one of the chat rooms. Tony Bologna is asking, can you ask John what he thinks life for whites would be like under this Kamala Harris administration?
Well, life for whites under a Trump administration is not too pleasant, and I think it would only be, you know, of course it would be worse under a Biden-Harris ticket. I mean, again, this is the party of BLM and Antifa. This is the party of, you know, Green New Deal and COVID lockdowns and mandatory face masks and, you know, anti-white historical weaponized narratives and contemporary narratives. I mean, this is the Democrats themselves are openly like the anti-white political party. It is, you know, it's insane. And of course, all of this would increase under their watch, no doubt about that. So it's, you know, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for whites, no matter who's in office, because, you know, nobody actually stands up explicitly for whites, including President Trump, unfortunately. But certainly if they get in office, it's that the whole country is going downhill big time. If they get in office, you know, they want to basically deindustrialize the entire country. And, you know, shut down manufacturing, shut down, you know, the whole Green New Deal is basically a systematic destruction of the country.
Well, yeah, and here's the beauty. If you don't like President Kamala Harris, you're both a racist and a misogynist, so shut up.
And an anti-Semite and a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
Yeah, it's tremendously disheartening. Because the as Mike Gaddy quotes H.L. Mencken all the time, "Boobus Americanus." But you know, really, this is 100 years later. Well, actually, it started like 40 years ago, 60 years ago. I'm sorry, 40 years ago, you got the beginnings of the Bolshevik 2.0 revolution, and just again, like the frog boiling in lukewarm water, and you've got these young, mentally weak deviants who believe in the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, and we need to riot against the fascists when they're acting like the fascists. It's so insane, and they can't think, and they believe critical race theory, and they don't understand that what they're going to get when the globalist communists take over is they're going to be the first to be killed because they're not trustworthy. They're not useful to the society. Every communist nation has always killed millions of people. Look at what Mao Zedong did to China, right? They used to march you in front of a panel, the people's panel, right? And they used to say if you were a wealthy person or you were a PhD professor, and you would go before the panel, and they'd have two doors. And there would be, are you loyal to the People's Party? Are you one of us? And if the wealthy Chinese person would say, no, I've earned this. I'm a wealthy man. I'm a landowner. They'd go, okay, go through that door. And they'd shoot you right away. And go through the other door. We'll get you a new job.
Yeah, well, the Chinese are efficient, if nothing else. Okay, we're at the bottom of the hour already. Everyone stay tuned for the second half hour with Mr. John Friend. Okay, we're back. I am talking with my co-host, Giuseppe, and Mr. John Friend. And at the bottom of the hour, Giuseppe was just telling a story about China and how things operate there. Giuseppe, why don't you pick up and finish up and take it where you want to go?
Well, it's really a fascinating story because it's a true story. That in Oriental medicine, and John probably doesn't realize that 15 years ago, and some listeners may or may not know, I did a midlife career change. I went back, dramatically different career path, and went back to get my master's of science in Oriental medicine and my bachelor's of science in East-West natural nutrition. And I have been a nationally board certified. I graduated summa cum laude. I worked hard and was at the top of the game. And I've had a small acupuncture, Chinese medicine, natural health, holistic practice for 15 years. And I'm board certified and licensed in two states, Wisconsin and Virginia. And the interesting story about that I began to tell, and I'll make it short, but it's still fascinating, that there was a fella, a dual PhD in chemistry and physics, that was brought before the panel, and he had the opportunity to, you know, he was an intellectual, he was an elite, and he said, no, I'm with the people. So a dual PhD, mind you, and they sent him through the other door, which is they gave him a job. And because he was a smart guy, they told him, you're going to northern China and you're going to run a gold mine. And so he's like, what? I don't know anything about running a gold mine. And so he went there because, you know, you want to live, you got to live. He had a family. And so in northern China, the weather is brutal, 9 months of winter. So he got there in the summer. And that people don't realize in real history that China during the Mao Revolution could not feed their population. So they had to have gold platinum, silver to buy food. They were literally starving. And so they were running all their precious metal mines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12-hour shifts, right? So he gets there, and it's all running along. And this was strip mining. I don't know if people understand what strip mining is, where you literally blow up parts of a mountain or a big hole, and then you run the what you get, which is precious metals literally woven through rock and dirt, like fat through mottled beef. And then you have to use acids and various solvents to separate the precious metals from all the sludge. And the final step is you heat that up to several thousand degrees in a big old iron urn, and the precious metals will melt first, and they rise to the top. So you pour them off, and you get your gold, you get your silver, you get your platinum, and that's that. So all of a sudden, winter hits, and this gentleman is like besieged with people getting sick and people unable to work their 12-hour day shifts. Right, every step of the way, the blowing up the dirt, the transportation of the dirt, the getting it into the processing, and the final step of heating it up, so the melted precious metals, that's called smelting. And so everyone's sick. He's like, oh my God, they're going to kill me. I have to provide for my family. But the only people who were going to work 12 hours a day, never missing a shift, were the workers in the smelting factory. And he's like, what the heck is going on here? And so this is all a true story, by the way. And so he goes to look at the smelting factory, and it's literally a warehouse, a factory with, you know, you can't stand too close to a 1,000-degree urn. So and you operate it mechanically. And so he noticed, first thing he noticed was the floors, the ceiling, and the walls were all coated in this black buildup, this hard, crusty black substance. And he's like, well, that's odd. And secondly, he noticed that, and so using his chemistry PhD, he broke it off and tested it. And it turned out it was a complex amalgam of 43 different metals and minerals. And so then he's like, well, that's interesting. And then he noticed that because of the intense heat needed to melt the precious metals and cause them to bubble up to the top, the heat, the radiant energy was bouncing off the ceiling and floors and walls and irradiating people. And he's like, could that be that somehow that's his physics degree, the irradiation coming off this complex metal mineral is actually good for people? So he wrote up a report trying to save his life because he wasn't going to make his production standards. And so and the leadership of Mao Zedong, they were very interested, because the other thing people don't realize is they were really jealous of the West and wanted to seem like they were respected as a peer. So they said, can you replicate this? So he created something called a TDP lamp, Thomas David Paul. And since I wasn't prepared for telling this story, I can't tell you what that acronym means. I don't have it memorized, but it's in one of my school books. And so he set up this, and they started using TDP lamps. He put a heating element behind pieces of that amalgam broken off, and they started doing a classic A-B test, which was you had cancer, you had tuberculosis, you had diabetes, you had whatever. Half of the population of patients was irradiated with that lamp hours upon hours a day because it's a gentle warmth, feels good, and the other half didn't. And in every instance, the TDP lamp helped healing, cured people. It was just stunning. I own about 6 TDP lamps. I use it in my practice for every patient. And so China went to the United Nations in the late 40s and 50s and said, we've had this discovery. Does anybody willing to test this for us? And everybody wanted to get good with China. So there were 23 Western nations, the United States, Canada, Italy, every major, UK, France, Germany, they all said, oh, yeah, we want to do it. We want to be friendly with you, China. And so everyone, including all major hospitals in the U.S., tested it and said, this is really something. And so there used to be, before computers, in hospitals, and I can show you pictures of it if I knew I was telling this story, that there used to be a billing sheet for every hospital. You know, it'd have like all these little checkboxes what you're using. And major hospitals around the United States used to use TDP lamps. And then, but guess what happened? Big Pharma didn't like that. It was curing people. And so they said, well, it's not interacting well with our drugs. And there went the TDP lamps, except for natural practitioners such as myself. So that was the point of that story. But my question for John is, it's kind of tied in, why all of a sudden when you've got now, you know, $1 billion, massively fast growing industry for natural cures, why all of a sudden now is everybody so scared and told to take a deadly vaccine? Why do you think people will go that route? And I'm certain many will.
Well, media gaslighting, you know, weaponized media narratives primarily, and just fear mongering in general. You know, and this idea that vaccines are the cure all has been promoted for a very long time now, and probably even more so in recent years. And definitely with this whole COVID crisis hysteria, totally manufactured pandemic hysteria, including by the president, probably the most by the president, in fact, which is very sad. But yeah, I mean, you know, and this is an aspect of research that really isn't my specialty. I have done some interviews on it with I've interviewed like Dr. Rebecca Carley, for example, and a few other a few other guests in the past that are kind of more into this issue. But it's very, very important, obviously. I mean, you know, I realized years ago that we've been lied to about pretty much everything, and I think that applies to medicine as well and to our health in general. You know, I think the pharmaceutical industry is created to keep us sick and to keep selling us, you know, poisonous substances that we put in our body and have to go back and buy more of, and to get us hooked, you know, to get us hooked on these substances and addicted to them. So it's like this big industry that's harming us, not helping us. And I think it's designed that way based on, you know, our fake understanding of how the human body works and how medicine should be practiced.
Yeah, excellent point. And it leads to my follow-up question is, they absolutely want people sick and trusting. You know, they don't want you dead. They want you to – they're trying to tweak the whole autism thing so they can get you – you are an autistic spurg, as people say, but you're functional. So you can actually do something useful, but they don't want you – actually smart and healthy and not taking those shots. And I think that in large part, that's what they're really trying to go after. I mean, have you gone to the Department of Defense website and read about what Operation Warp Speed really is and what they're planning? It's terrifying.
Yeah, no, I have a little bit, probably not in as much depth as you have, obviously, but I mean, it seems clear that, well, one, it's like a huge, you know, financial boondoggle for these big, you know, vaccine developing companies. I mean, how many billions of dollars have been pledged by the federal government towards these companies to, you know, to develop these quote unquote life saving vaccines? It's insane. It's a huge scam, obviously, and it's, you know, the whole COVID, the idea of COVID itself. I'm not even convinced it's. I don't want to say it's not a real thing, but It's basically the common cold, as you mentioned earlier in this conversation. I think that's basically what it is. It's just being hyped and manufactured by the media and by the government, you know, to advance this clearly like New World Order medical tyranny.
Yeah. Well, you know, we brought up this Operation Warp Speed. Why do you think President Trump keeps talking about the need to use the military to distribute this vaccine, when I don't see why Big Pharma couldn't just use the usual methods? And of course, when you say the military is going to be used to distribute the vaccine, that implies the use of force, because the military isn't going to run around without their machine guns and sidearms. What's your thinking on this?
Oh man, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like, you know, he's, I don't know. It's like he's trying to be like this tough guy that he always presents himself as. And, you know, of course, we got to use the military to get this done faster and quicker and to overcome the pandemic. When really, to me, the main thing is what he could be pointing out is that this pandemic is fake. It's not even real. You know, people are not getting sick and dying from this disease. It's just totally manufactured. And even like the testing, I'm not even certain that any of that is real either. You know, there's so much fraud involved in this whole thing. And it's so clearly a scam promoted by these globalists to implement this sort of tyrannical system. And that, to me, is what he should be saying.
Trump went along with this, I have COVID 33 days before the election, and then, you know, miraculously he's healed in a couple of days. What do you think that was all about? I just found that to be very strange.
Yeah, it was almost like he wanted to get ahead of, like, the media narrative and sort of take control back over the narrative itself. Like, he's always been on the defensive with it and letting the media sort of set the tone of the discussion. And by him allegedly contracting it and then, you know, recovering so quickly, it almost allowed him to kind of flip the script and control the conversation. And I think he was making a lot of good points certainly in the last debate about how we need to get over this and, you know, move on as a country. This is not that deadly of a thing. We need to stop being so scared and having fear drive the conversation. I think all of that was good. And I think that was sort of his attempt to kind of flip the script on the media and get control of the conversation once again.
That's an interesting observation, John. Have either of you gentlemen watched that documentary about early Trump that was on Netflix? It was like a 4-part, you know, tracing his early years and then the 70s and 80s and up to the 90s. And it's really fascinating that in part of that documentary, there was a publicly video recorded statement from one of the New York Federal Reserve bankers who said, you know, we could have destroyed Donald Trump repeatedly, but we kept letting him go through these bankruptcies because we realized he could be of great use to us. And so I think what's going on, and I welcome both your observations, is I think that Donald Trump has been forced into a bipolar reality, which is half of him is utterly controlled by the Zionist banksters, and that's why 20 of 22 of his cabinet were dual citizen Zionist traders. But part of him really believes in America, and in his, you know, not insignificant ego, he believes like he's lived the American dream and he loves America and all this and that. And so he's constantly on this razor's edge, or more vividly, he's like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, constantly hopping around trying to keep everything going, be true to his ideals in his heart. But the reality is that he's a marionette. What do you think of that scenario?
I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, again, you know, I was kind of mentioning this. To me, it's I can see both sides of him, and I think he's definitely on a whole other league than most, you know, like average politicians that you see. Definitely at the presidential level, you know, all these candidates are so fake, and he made that so crystal clear in the last election. You know, when he's up on stage debating the other Republicans, I mean, this guy is clearly just on a whole other level than these people. And certainly that applied to Hillary Clinton as well. I mean, these people are just, to a man almost, or woman, just totally corrupt, empty suits, willing to say whatever their donors want. And right. He came across as a very genuine, independent, populist leader. And that's sort of been his image. Of course, you know, he hasn't really lived up to a lot of that, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, and this is something I remember writing about repeatedly back in the last election is, you know, Trump is saying a lot of good things, but look who he's got around him, look who he's got advising him, look, and then, you know, as we moved into his actual administration, look at the people he himself is appointing to key positions of, you know, of power throughout the federal government. In many cases, these people were openly hostile to what he was trying to do, openly hostile to his agenda. You know, he had a guy like John Bolton, for example. You know, Trump is trying on one hand saying he wants to get out of the Middle East, he wants to end these ridiculous, you know, never ending wars and occupations of all these countries all over the world, and then he appoints John Bolton as you know, I mean, what is he taught? This guy's opposite of that. This guy wants to invade the entire world and then let them all into our country as refugees. You know, this guy is like the epitome of like the Zionist war hawk, you know? So I don't know. A lot of the things that he does just don't seem to add up, which leads me to suspect that he is sort of like, you know, just another puppet in this, you know, stage managed political theater. But that being said, I think he does represent something that is very threatening to this globalist establishment, and that's why they want him out of office so badly.
Oh yeah, yeah, because that, he stirred that, the
that's
sleeping
a great
giant
point, Giuseppe made. I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, but that's really excellent thinking. And John, I appreciate your ability to sort of kind of look at both sides, because there are a lot of unanswered questions about Trump. I'm in the same kind of situation where I sort of vacillate about, you know, who Trump is and what he's really up to. So this is an interesting conversation. I just want to read a comment from the chat room from Claymore and get both of your responses to it. He says, Marxist ideology with a Maoist strategy, then implementing the Saul Alinsky tactics. This is simply a synthesis of their proven best psychological social weapons.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's referring to Trump, that like that's Trump's sort of strategy?
Or the globalists, I think he's referring to.
Yeah, yeah, he's referring to what's happening with this election and what we're experiencing worldwide. And, you know, what I see, the Saul Alinsky tactics are really being utilized right now by the Democrats, because it's sort of just a win at any cost strategy. Just, you know, whatever it takes to win, don't worry about having any kind of morals or being on the side of truth or decency. Just stick it in there and win.
Yeah, and I mean, the radical left and the Democrats in general, which are basically the same thing at this point, right? I mean, the radical left has essentially taken over the Democrat Party. I mean, even leading up to the election, they were basically assuming that they were not only going to win, but also that Trump would fail, you know, would refuse to concede and, you know, contest the election, which, you know, is basically what's playing out right now. But I mean, these people were making plans to it was almost like astonishing how obvious it was that they were literally planning a color revolution in the United States. I mean, this is the strategy that the deep state uses overseas to overthrow, you know, foreign governments. And they were using the exact same tactics and strategies here. And they were openly writing about it and saying what they were going to do. You know, I wrote an article actually for the most recent edition of American Free Press, which was just published actually a week ago from today, I think it was actually published, highlighting the left's plans for mayhem and violence and basically outright insurrection and terrorism across the country. And, you know, this is something that's been going on this entire year, you know, with the BLM protests and the Antifa looting and violence and stuff. And, you know, this was their explicit strategy leading up to the election. You know, and of course, meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security is going on about like white supremacist violence and terrorism when these people are openly saying what they're going to do and have been doing it for months. So it's, man, what a crazy time to be alive. That's for sure. It's insane what's going on right now. And you know what? Frankly, I just don't see any good options, man. I really don't. I mean, I think Trump is going to get. I'm not too hopeful with, you know, with the whole legal process. I think it's going to come down to some of these, you know, Republican-led legislatures actually sending, you know, Trump delegates to the Electoral College in order to secure the election. But even that's going to be contested. I mean, it's like all the signs are leading towards, like, you know, a civil war essentially in this country.
Well, you know, what's interesting is just popped up on my phone from Sputnik, which is a slightly better, well, actually a little better than the mainstream lies, but it popped up. Putin, Erdogan, all these leaders look forward to working with Biden to bring peace to the world. I'm paraphrasing, but so everyone's legitimizing this. This, I don't even think it's going to get to the Electoral College sending, you know, Trump's going to get his votes, but it's going to be fall far short. I mean, they've got Biden with all this vote stealing and phony ballot stuff, he's going to be 320 electoral, 330. I mean, it's going to look like a Biden landslide. It's so insane.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was looking at some of the world leaders' reaction to the media reporting that Biden is the next president. And it's interesting how so many of them are talking – well, they're not only congratulating Biden and Harris, but also saying, oh, we can't wait to work together to – and it's all about climate change. We're going to get back in the Paris Peace Accord. We're going to build back better from COVID. And all of this – and again, you know, this whole COVID scam, all of it is so tied into this whole Green New Deal idea and deindustrializing the West and implementing this – you know, this not only a medical tyranny, but also this like environmental tyranny where, you know, we're not going to be able to drive cars anymore. You know, everybody's going to, what was, did you guys see that video that I think it was actually released a few years ago, but I just saw a lot of people sharing it on Twitter earlier this week of, I think it was the World Economic Forum, like their plan for the future where nobody would own anything and, you know, you would have no possessions and this sort of thing. Did you guys see that?
I just played it during the break over on the video side. Yeah, it's crazy, man. They're like, oh, you won't own any property. You'll just rent, but you'll be happy because you'll get a delivery by a drone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I think, Giuseppe, you brought up an interesting point with that article from Sputnik, because I think the strategy moving forward is going to be, first of all the world leaders are going to congratulate Joe Biden very rapidly. Secondly, Joe Biden is going to start forming a cabinet and forming his government very quickly, because that way it further delegitimizes any attempt by Trump to resist against this phony election outcome. What do you guys think about that?
I think John hit it perfectly on the head. Gaslighting, baby, gaslighting. Turn up the knob all the way to max. We are maximum gaslight. It's 11, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, John, exactly. This hour has just flown by. I know you're only up for this 1 hour. I just want to thank you for coming on the show. And what would your final thoughts be for today, sir?
Buckle up. This is gonna be playing out in the weeks and months to come for sure. And you know, we got it. To me, I mean, again, as critical as I've been of Trump, I still do want to see him back in the White House. And you know, we gotta be bold and support him. And you know, certainly the GOP, the mainstream Republican Party, is not going to stand behind the president. They've made that clear from day one. So it's going to be the people that have got to stand up and prevent this coup from happening. And I think, you know, I think we'll see that in the coming weeks and months. At least that's what I pray.
John, how can viewers and listeners support your noble efforts of truth?
Check out my website, therealistreport.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter @realistreport. And of course, subscribe to American Free Press, America's last real newspaper.
All right, great. Well, that time flew by. John, thanks again for coming on. And we'll have you on again soon. You take care.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio for the third and final hour. I'm here with my main man and co-host, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. And I want to bring on a man that I've actually known for a long time. I first met Steve back in probably 2007, somewhere around there, back on this old forum called the Information Underground. And it was one of the original kind of anti-Zionist forums and a forum of free speech and very well-informed people as well. So Steve is in the UK, in the London area, I believe. Steve, how are you, sir? Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Scorpio. Thank you, Giuseppe. I'm not in London. I'm in Avalon at the moment. Sorry to correct you there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's okay. I've been listening to your show as well. Some good stuff from there. I've got lots to contribute, lots of points to make. So, yeah, I'm sort of ready and waiting when you are.
Well, let's start off with what is going on in, you know, London and England with this insane lockdown and saying that people can't leave their house for more than an hour unless it's absolutely necessary. What do you think is going on there, man?
Okay, a couple of things. First thing is government claiming 26,000 daily cases on the PCR test. And it's interesting today that there's a Swiss cardiologist who got arrested for showing that that PCR test was false. Absolutely false. So they're using the number of cases, not the number of deaths, to try and create the hysteria for the second lockdown. There are protests in the last couple of days in Birmingham, Manchester, and Glastonbury as well. In Avalon, there was protests, but the leaders got arrested and carted off. I'm presuming from what I'm hearing, other people are getting carted off on the resistance actions. They are now threatening anyone who visits another person's house, even other family members, with £1,000 lockdown fine. So they're now treating COVID as a cash cow for the redistribution, looting of Joe Public. So that's the first thing I want to say. There are anti-lockdown protests. It is getting bigger and bigger. People are becoming more tuned on to the lies, the factual lies. I'm not sure they're savvy enough to be organised quite what me and you are and to be based, but they know, the instincts are there that something's wrong. There are no big piles of bodies everywhere. There's just the statistics being generated by the BBC and Boris Johnson, who, interestingly, by the way, has just come out to support Biden. So, yeah, the police are all wearing masks. They're fining everybody, arresting everybody. There's a lot of violence running around, but they are picking on individuals. So I'm going to be coming on later in the call to sort of talk about actions and solutions as well, after I've come up with some of the predictions. But it's only going to get worse. They know the economy is going down. They want to reset everything in the UK. And to do that, they need to take out the thought leaders, the resistance thought leaders who actually are going to speak up, like people like Giuseppe and myself, by the way. I've been a targeted individual since TIU Scorpio, and if I'm going to be telling the truth to everybody here, I was attacked and tortured, and I had counter-terrorism police round to my house, and I was attacked and tortured with an aggravated burglary from a cannibal burglar sent from the local synagogue, who then promptly got an indeterminate life sentence. I had my flat taken away, my job taken away as a chess teacher. I ended up on the streets. I had honeypots sent after me, Satanists. And I've been on the run for 8 years. That's what's happened, Scorpio, since TIU. I haven't stopped fighting on the ground. My life has been destroyed. That's what happens to targeted individuals who speak up to people like counterterrorism who stood up on my door. Banging on about,
Steve.
You hear? I can go through all these stories, Scorpio. There is a few. And I've been so many court cases and I've been victorious in every single one. 11-0 now. So I've been fighting a private war, right? And I have to win this war. So, all right, I'll take here for now. So, we need to talk about what these lockdowns mean. Now, you've touched on a lot of points previously in this call with Giuseppe and John Friend, which I thought are cogent points. But I'd like to, maybe if I may, cover some bulletin points with you. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's go for it, man.
Okay, so first of all, I think only the Rothschilds can get leaders to back Biden. Okay. Anyway, the only person who's got a cartel big enough to actually get world leaders of individual countries to back Biden is Rothschild. And I'm talking Jacob Rothschild, Nathaniel Rothschild, Evelyn de Rothschild. They're all at Spencer House in London. Spencer House. They're all in there plotting the downfall of everyone. So if protesters and anti-lockdown, if they're really switched on, don't be going off to London to protest. Don't be doing that and becoming a target. You go straight down to Spencer House or his mansion, right, next to Peter Mandelson's. You go straight down there and you rip them out of their houses. You rip them out of there and you hang them. You take the police and you put an eye mask on them because they're plotting to kill everyone on the island and steal all their shit. So, for example, I don't think we should be supporting Trump at all. We shouldn't be supporting Trump because he's pro-Israel, like both of them are. What we need is a new leader, a new JFK that can't be killed, a bit like Assad. And if you notice the curse of Assad, Assad's still there. We need a new leader, someone from the underground, a champion to step forth and get, not elected, but to lead the fight. You know, we there's no point voting in a rigged election. So I'm going to say to people, stop voting. Stop paying your tax. Stop paying your council tax. Don't give them anything. Anything. Don't pay them at all. What are you going to do, lock up millions? So I'm going to say stop paying. Stop voting. Get armed and be prepared for America to become just like Syria. You ain't seen nothing yet. Regarding the UK, expect now, as of 3 days ago, Sunak has decided and is contemplating negative interest rates in the UK Bank of England. Kiss goodbye to your life savings. So all those people are going to lose all their life savings as they reset the currency supply, okay? They've been working for 20, 30 years. You know, honest, hardworking people, they're going to lose it all. All of it.
Next. Well, you made an interesting point about, you know, that the House of Rothschild has to be, you know, organizing these leaders to welcome Joe Biden in so quickly, even before anything's actually resolved. And I also agree with you that non-compliance and non-participation is going to be a big part of what people are going to have to do. We're all going to have to make some very difficult decisions very soon, because come not long from now, you will not be allowed to participate in society if you don't comply with all the vaccines and the other crap that they have planned for us.
We'll be too weak. We'll be too old. We won't have any money. And like in this country, you won't have any guns either. And we all know what happens to people without guns. I think the pensions are going. Now, when you look at the stock market, one of the reasons that, Scorpio, we were expecting the collapse. I mean, I knew you from 2006. But one of the reasons after the banking bailouts, me and Ogni were expecting the banks and everything to crash, but it didn't, if you noticed. And I was left out in the wild and we couldn't work it out. Well, I can tell you that answer from a year ago. And I listened to a lot of bankers on macrovoices.com, and it's very illuminating because they said the reason it lasted so long against all the bankers' expectations is because of share buybacks. They took public money and used it as a share tax, a stealth share tax, to keep all the CEOs, all their bonuses in terms of shares, artificially high. The top five companies, the multinationals based in America, are actually run from Israel. So the rest of the Dow Jones is actually going down, except for the top five companies in the Dow Jones. So the rest of them are going down. Now, you can expect those companies to die off and be smashed, and there'll only be Israeli companies based in America left. There won't be any small businesses. There won't be any enterprise. You won't be have self-employment or anything like I am. So they really are going to get rid of jobs per se initially. They're going to get rid of jobs and pensions. So when they prick that stock market bubble, now the bankers seem to think between 1 and 3 years, Scorpio. I happen to think, and I gave a prediction that it will kick off now in November, and this was 2 years ago, and then it will last for about a year. But the bankers seem to think three. So we know it's coming. It's coming in the short term. It gives us just enough time to get ready and make some decisions now. Those pensions and people hanging on to those pensions, particularly the police, the civil service, the British Army or the American Army, all these pensions are going. So you can imagine the chaos going to be caused when they all realize, these idiots who sold out to Israel, that they haven't got any pension and all their life savings are being wiped out. Now, that has happened before in the UK under John Major, where Sterling got attacked by George Soros, and all of a sudden Sterling is devalued by a third. And my own mother, for example, was in negative equity for $20,000. And I have to say, she was well off, and she worked for the establishment, Scorpio. They would fuck their own people. It's the idiocy of it all. Right? So expect these stock buybacks to stop. So they'll print this MMT money, money printer go brr, right? It will make the dollar as the world's global reserve currency impractical. It will devalue everyone's purchasing power in America and indeed the world. Because most of the currencies in the world have 80% as dollar reserve assets backing their fiat asset up. And I think when that stock market goes, that's the trigger me and you and the people on the underground have to be looking for. When that stock market bubble gets popped, we must be ready. Other things, apart from non-Jewish competitors being destroyed, there will be no borders. So think Kamala Harris and what she said with the Mexicans coming up from the south. In fact, everybody from South America coming across the border. Think immigration on a scale we haven't seen. Because in the next 4 years, they've got to tip that demographic, Scorpio. So there will never, ever be any challenge to them ever again. And that's why we've got to stop voting now. Now. Not in the next 4 years' time.
Giuseppe, why don't you jump in? Where do you want to take this?
Well, I'm curious. First off, wow, Steve, targeted individual is a nasty, nasty experience. I've heard many, many different interviews of targeted individuals, and it's just physically torturous, psychologically torturous, spiritually torturous. I give you a lot of credit for enduring all that. And secondly,
I tell you what I enjoyed, Giuseppe. I enjoyed being thrown off the first story, tied up chicken style, my wrists behind my back, yeah? Thrown off a fucking first story 3 times, my throat cut, my face cut all over, my bones broken, I had this shit booted out of me for a fucking hour. This is after I got bushwhacked from behind, by the way.
Jeez.
And then I had all my shit robbed. He then went into the fucking, robbed all the cash machine, right? And he was working for the local synagogue. So I had one of his friends go in there and ask that synagogue what was the capital of Israel. So I was on like a little infiltration ops against the Jews at that time. So unless you are prepared to be tortured, it took me years to get over that. The only person who was there, Scorpio, was Ognia. The only person who actually gave a shit. We have to have support networks for people in prison, for people who've been attacked, for people who are being targeted by the government. We need citizen defense teams where we outnumber the police. We put iron masks on their faces to make a political point, or tar and feather them if you're in America. Huh. Right? We have to come together to physically defend each other. Otherwise, you will go through what I went through. I haven't had a house in 8 years. I had to take my own land. I had to build my own wooden cabin, right? I had to do that twice, by the way, because I had gypsies with shotguns, 3 transit vans on my own, 1 in the morning. Police didn't turn up for an hour, right? You got no support from the system. You'll be living outside the system. Scorpio, I believe you've moved on since then as well, so I don't blame you. I want to get out of here myself because the prognosis isn't good. So we're going to have to play it on the fly, yeah. But we must start getting organized. Otherwise, bad shit is going to happen. I know what will happen. People will lose their jobs. They'll lose their housing. Yeah. They're going to be beaten
up. One thing's for sure. They're going to have to make things a lot worse than they are now, because as Mike Gatti has pointed out many times, comfortable people will not accept revolutionary change. And so they're going to take this thing. I think they're just beginning. And it's time that people stop looking towards the government and thinking, well, if we just get the right person in office, the government will fix things. We're way beyond that now. And we need to see the government as the enemy.
Yeah, that's the switch. So you've got to take all these disenfranchised Trump supporters who are all QAnon thinking, oh, he's going to win, he's going to win, he's going to win, right? But even if he does win, you've still got a pro-Israel candidate in there with Ivanka lined up. In the next 4 years, There's nobody fighting our corner. So we have to change tack. We have to move across all the radio shows. We have to find someone and like a basic agenda to get behind. And we have to get rid of the regime. So what I'm advocating is regime change in all NATO countries. NATO is Rothschild's private army. There is no other way of doing it, short of taking as many of them out as possible before they take you out.
You know, yeah? What's interesting, Steve, is that here in the United States still, the satanic evil is at the elite management levels. You know, the government, the federal government, is the largest employer in the United States, and you've got people, you know, they give you a ranking G10 to like G20 or whatever, and there's literally 100 million G10s to G20. They go do their job. Same thing at the state level. Most states are massive employers. And,
let's,
you know,
expand on that, Gustafi. Let's expand on that. So, for example, Biden's in now. MMT, money printer, go burr. You watch all those people who don't work, all those degenerates, all those people with their hands out on the gravy train. You watch them comply as much as Joe Biden wants, as long as the Fed, with the new pay now system on the next tranche of COVID money, will be paid directly to their wallets. And they'll,
well, that's where
like
I was going. Yeah. Yeah. They're setting it up to make people want the Federal Reserve to deposit directly. And
micromanaging the entire world.
Yep. So one of the things that Scorpio's mentioned, that, and I heard you briefly say on a call a week or two ago, is how could we realistically go to a bankless system?
You can go to medium.bankless.substack, I think. But what bankless means, and it sort of came in with yield farming, was the DeFi craze, which has been put under immense stress by the powers that be trying to smash it at the moment with the rise in Bitcoin to 16,000, most of which 80% goes to the Chinese, by the way. The DeFi craze has a very simple central concept that a wallet on your mobile phone can lend or borrow against other people's wallets. It's a very simple concept. So it means that you take responsibility for the collateral and the way you employ your collateral, usually Ethereum, I might add, with some stable coins like DAI, US dollar tether, for example, wrapped Bitcoin. And people put it into liquidity pools and they make their trading fees off of that. Or maybe they compound the tokens they get in an instrument called Curve.fi. I really do recommend checking out Curve.
Can I interject? And, you said it so fast. It was medium dot what? Medium?
Bankless.substack, I think. It's called the Bankless Movement. But all it means is that you take control of your collateral. You don't use a bank. You're able to lend and borrow from your wallet, or in my case, Instadap or Zapper.fi. And you're usually dealing in Curve tokens. You want Curve because that keeps the interest built in, for example, and allows you to earn interest on your own collateral without involving a third party. Now, I think that's key. So in line with my philosophy of not paying any psychic energy to them with voting or moderation or pandering, also not paying. So don't use the bank, right? You can go to Crypterium, okay, and get a $13 Visa card, which I'm not completely happy with, but it will allow you to draw out from your wallet via the cash machine. Okay, so you can go bankless and just live a normal life like every other goyim if you want it. Just don't use the banks. Stop paying taxes. Stop voting. We need numbers to organize around these issues to stop feeding the beast. Starve them of food. Starve them of drink. Don't give what they want because it's easier, right? And we need to get behind someone, probably from the underground, we can trust. And we need to start forming an alternative to the voting and election system.
Well, I like, you know, the thinking that you're doing in a lot of respects, because this system that we live under is going to turn against all of us except for a small few that comply to every one of their demands. And that's the future, whether or not Trump is in office or Biden is in office. You know, we'll just get there faster with Biden, essentially. And out of the box thinking and coming up with new systems for people to live under, that is the future. And I would also add that decentralization is crucial. We need to decentralize all of the systems and get things back into the control of local people, not someone that's going to sit in their high perch in the United Nations building in New York or Tel Aviv or wherever the seat of the world government is going to be.
If people don't use their money, then it doesn't have any power. The only reason a small group has loads and loads of power is because they control the printing presses and the bullets which go with that.
Yeah, because, you know, that this monetary system that we live under is sort of the ultimate manifestation of black magic alchemy. They're creating money out of nothing, and everybody believes that it's something real.
Well, they're not going to be believing it for very much longer, because the US, for example, has been financing its own deficit for the last 6 years. So if you check out people like Luke Groman, and I'm very much matched and aligned with Luke Groman in terms of a macro voice on the economics, the writing's on the wall. And I think what we've got here is one cartel wanting to be the sole printing press for the sole one world currency over the entire world, winner takes all, playing for all the marbles. That's what I think's going on.
Are you, Steve, familiar with what occurred in Marica near Rio de Janeiro, where they literally were so poor they created their own digital currency? And
you see in Bolivia with the Bolivar.
And the banks tried to fight it and went all the way to the Brazil Supreme Court, and the underdog won. And it's kind of like they have their own micro currency now digitally.
There's a lot of countries doing that. And also, by the way, on Telegram, I've been monitoring the Bitcoin channels, and every single day there's like 2, 3, 4, 5 countries all coming out and saying, oh, we need a digital dollar, digital pounds, digital euro now. Every country's coming out with a digital currency. And that is basically on the back of the Fed's pilot scheme with PayNow. So they've realized it is possible, but they don't want the crypto world to fill that power vacuum. What they want is their own dollar being backed with taxes, threatening people's homes or jobs, for example, so to enforce the use of this digital dollar.
Right.
It's
funny. KW Jackson in the chat room is saying, rub two coins together and get a third. That's exactly what they do.
That's exactly what they do. Can I also talk about some other points as well I want to go over?
Sure, go ahead.
I think,
man,
wearing no masks will become illegal. I think there's going to be mandatory vaccines. So they're going to retest that red line with, first of all, mandatory testing. And then mandatory vaccines. Okay? They're going to revisit that. We have to be ready for that, again, with citizen defense teams. I think the oil price could crash as well. So when oil demand drops, and drops dramatically, so we've already lost the economy is contracting, everybody knows we're in recession, Well, that's only going to get worse with the lockdowns. And I don't believe it's going to be for 1 month. They said that last time. It's probably going to be until March. Okay? The new tax.
Okay, we're at the bottom of the hour, Steve. Hold on to that thought, and we'll be right back with the final half hour of Operation Scorpio. Okay, welcome back to the third hour, the final half hour of Operation Scorpio. I'm here with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals, and Steve from the UK. And Steve is really kind of an out-of-the-box thinker, man. You are pushing the envelope here. You've got some interesting concepts. And, you know, what I like about this conversation, whether or not I agree with every single point, is that we have to start thinking about new solutions other than just sitting back and waiting for the government to fix our problems. That's not going to happen because I believe that the governments pretty much worldwide are under the control of this umbrella of this cabal that seems to be buying up the world, as you've talked about before. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think the real major push to buy the entire world will come with oil and super contango. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Hang on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm not muted. I'm
well, Scorpio, it's funny. As I mentioned a moment or two ago, that there's so many people who are still just in the system and think it's just going to be a smooth ride. You know, oh, Joe Biden, he's going to right the ship. And man, Orange Man bad. He was bad. And they don't even understand. And that when they start to realize and freak out, holy cow, is it going to be dystopian?
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
You're really, your volume's super low right now. How's it coming in for you, Giuseppe?
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me? Decent now?
There you go. And you should turn off your video. You'll have better audio quality.
Yeah, I think it's trying to use my headphones mic. Yeah, what I want to talk about is to focus on the oil contango. So we've already been through...
Turn off your video, though. You're having audio issues here.
Ah, right, okay. Okay, it won't turn it off. Hang on.
It won't go off. We're watching you.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, though? Are you able to get the audio?
Yeah, we're hearing you okay now. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, let me just finish the point. So we've already been through oil demand dropping sharply, which led to super oil contango, where they're having to pay people to store oil. So I'm going to predict that's going to happen again. So as the demand for oil goes down, as the economy contracts, indeed all of the world economies are going to contract. The demand for oil will go down as the demand for consuming goods and manufacturing goes down, which means they'll be paying people to hold oil. They'll be shutting down oil wells. You won't be able to pick up straight away the oil the following month when the contracts roll over. So I think they will use an oil crisis. I think they're going to use an oil crisis to try and move these new financial measures forward on the back of the oil crisis. So expect with the popping of the stock market bubble and the contraction of industry's demand for oil, for there to be super contango and literally to be a crisis, an artificially generated oil crisis in the next 1-2 or on the outside 3 years. But I think it's going to be the next year or two, okay? So please understand we'll be looking for the popping of that stock market bubble, the super oil contango, and we need to be ready with citizen defense teams, yeah, to defend our rights. No lockdown support groups for jobs and medicine, so you're not penniless. You've got medicine and you've got food, so you want to be stashing food away, yeah? You want to be taking out the CCTV with paintballs. And you want some form of drone defense because the police will have loads of drones all everywhere. I've seen them in the Caucasus now, employed effectively by Azerbaijan. I'm seeing them in Yemen. I'm seeing them in Syria. Drones, 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 drones. And they'll be used against me or you and Joe Public. So these citizen defense teams that we are going to need if we're going to survive and win, you're going to need to take out the drones. You're going to need to support each other for jobs, medicine, and you're going to need to take the CCTV out to blind them, all these electronics, all this centralized surveillance. You're going to need to take that out. So these are the solutions with the problems I've identified and the catalysts that perhaps you're going to have to look at. And I think we should fuck Steve Pachenik and all the other no-agenda moderate alt-lighters out there who have all got their hopes pinned on a savior to save them. Right, we need champions stepping forth.
We need big names setting forth. We need to set an example to the other people so the other more cowardly people can actually come forward and we can nurture and bring them out and bring out their inner little clamshell and actually say, you need to talk. You need to speak up. Free speech is for you. Let me listen. These are the things we need to be focusing on as an underground movement over the next year, right? And we need to get it together. So I just want to hand that back to the floor. Don't believe in Trump and a QAnon.
Oh, well stated. QAnon is nothing but a psyop, obvious bullshit psyop. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people in America feel like, well, we've got guns. They're not going to be able to do anything, and I don't think the guns will matter, because if the military wanted to clean up the entire country, they could do it. It would take a while because it'd be a guerrilla war with some people, but the in my mind, the only real solution is when that great herd of people who are delusionally comfortable in their government job or in their corporate job with a pension, when it all goes to shit, they need to just shut down the whole system, literally millions of people in the streets or millions of people. And that will scare the hell out of the globalists. I don't think that even if you've got,
we take the fight to them on the back of that. It's not enough to scare them. We have to get the result in.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. And so what we're going to run into, especially in the United States, is a lot of people freaked out of their minds, and they won't be able to think straight. They won't be able to act. And probably a lot of that might happen in the UK. What's your advice and strategy? You've lived in the deep shit now for a decade or more. And you're got the heart of a warrior. How do we focus people who are not, they can't believe what's going on, and they'll just, you know, freak out, lose their shit.
I think that if you're isolated, don't be isolated, okay? Start surrounding yourself with people who have like mind. Don't be in the minority believing in the political correctness, right? And don't believe it won't come to your door. It will. And it will do it with AI if necessary, controlling all these people with AI, right? Issuing orders. Don't be on your own. Go out and find like-minded people. This is how No Agenda is actually way ahead of us, even though they're really, really moderate, yeah? Because they have a grassroots meetings. They have a grassroots movement. They have a value-for-value model. So if it pisses me off that you don't mention the Jew, if you actually look at the infrastructure of No Agenda, it's kind of like a soft template or a foundation for what we are going to be needing to do. Okay? We need to do that because we're giving strength and support for physical defense against, say, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, turning up on your door and kicking your head in. You need to be able to instantly call your buddies, people who will actually respond and defend you like a clan. That's the first thing. And then you have like free-form, thought-form discussions there where people actually respect the freedom of speech. I mean, TIU and a lot of Americans in general taught me a lot about free speech. People just use it as a buzzword. It's got a whole deep history of what that actually means, and respect for free speech, a respect for truth, a respect for dialogue, the discipline to listen, not talking through people. So I think that's my advice, is don't get stuck. Don't become a victim. Surround yourself with people who are like-minded and based. Then prepare. You either stand your ground with that group or you evac to a better wicket to fight on. Don't become a victim. Don't become a casualty. Not unless you've got good chances of winning, right? Or you want to go down. Maybe some people want to go down. But think of your families if you've got a family. Think of your loved ones. Be sensible and realize that it won't matter that you're moderate. It won't matter that you're alt-right or you're compliant. It won't matter. If you're white, you're going anywhere.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And, you know, the white people are going to be one of the primary targets for a variety of reasons. There's no question about that. And, you know, we're all going to have to make some difficult choices here, because this system is turning against us, And we are in endgame now, Steve. There's no turning back, especially now that Groper Joe has been coronated or will be coronated as the next president. This agenda is going to move forward very, very quickly, because at least, there's lots of room to criticize Trump and say bad things about him. But he did manage to put the brakes on things a little bit, especially with the climate change agenda by pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord and other things. And this climate agenda is going to move forward very fast because it interlocks and dovetails with this COVID hoax, because it's all encapsulating. It's going to involve every aspect of our lives under control of big government.
Trump didn't arrest Hillary. Full stop.
Right.
Well said.
So ends right there, right from the beginning. You didn't arrest Hillary. Why? Why? Sexual blackmail? Bribery? What was it? Why didn't you arrest your own? Because it was obvious from the servers. And I went through all the emails on the servers that she was speaking to Lady de Rothschild, and she was saying, Lady de Rothschild was saying how you've led a very arrogant campaign. Well, that's because the Rothschilds were backing Trump secretly with Chabad Lubavitch. They were playing both sides. That's why Trump didn't arrest Hillary.
Well, and I think also, Steve, that when these people that are part of the club, let's say, like Hillary and other operatives, they're given full legal immunity from any crimes they commit. And that includes murder, a la the Clinton body count and other things. None of these people are going to jail. That's a pure fantasy that this Q stuff has put out to people. And, you know, the other thing is we don't know what kind of blackmail or pressure Trump is under. You know, this guy's got skeletons in his closet. He's deeply in debt to the bankers, and they can pull the plug on his so-called empire, I believe, whenever they want to.
I think, just a quick point to you all, the UK has just passed a law, I think it was like a week and a half ago, where the police are now allowed to commit crime. They've passed the law. And if a judge signs off, the police are now allowed to commit crime. Now, let me give an example of that. When they were infiltrating the environmentalist movement in this country, they were sleeping with some of the protesters, and it all came out in court because one of them got pregnant. They were raping, environmental protesters. And it came out in court, you see, and the government came down like a ton of bricks because they realized everyone was looking at the police as rapists. And this was the JTRIG unit out of GCHQ, rapists. And now they've just passed a law to legalize rape, that kind of crime. The same crime they tried to do with me, by the way, just as I left and got done in, yeah? I had someone in Glastonbury try that, a honeypot, by the way, but I busted her up, yeah? I knew exactly who she was, and I outed her in front of everybody. The same people who chopped the Glastonbury Holy Thorn, which was all over the BBC News 24. So you have to be aware that people are paid to destroy people's lives. The mafia criminal conspiracy, the Jewish mafia criminal conspiracy, has legalized itself in the hope crime will become normalized in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Normalized. Rape, murder, thieving. On a scale.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Steve, you know, I always think about when topics like this come up, I think about the ending of the movie A Clockwork Orange. You know, the sadist psychopath that's the star of the film. What does he do in the end? He becomes a cop.
Yeah, and I think, I agree with that. I just couldn't believe it that they passed a law to commit crime. I just thought the chutzpah of that. You know, you can get a judge to sign off the crime. Sorry. Something's got to be done. There's no point now just staying back and sort of like counter virtue signaling in a way. we need to find out where these people live. Now, back in the day, one of the things that went viral with me is I wrote a book called The Central Bankers Named 2010. And to my credit, after I got tortured, I wrote the second edition 2011 as well. And in that, I had every name, face, address, phone number, staff lists of every central banker on the planet. And I released that just before I got done in, right? I had all where their work offices were, their phone numbers, all their staff, who they were, mugshots.
I remember that.
Every bank, every central bank on the planet. It's still on Pirate Bay. And we need that kind of intel. So, because these people have names, faces, addresses, phone numbers, places of work. And if they're all taking IMF loans as bribes, they're traitors. And we have to do something. And the only vehicle I can think of doing that is a citizen defense team. And I don't know what kind of thing is. You'll be unique to each country or each culture. But from the bottom up, we have to build from the bottom up and now challenge these people. Because I'm afraid to say genocide is on the table. We now are dealing with genocide, whether it be stealth or covert, or whether externalized because they feel really powerful and no one will know because of the media. We're not going to have much choice soon. So let's try and look at those solutions of organization. Counter-infiltration, how to counter-infiltrate. We're going to need to take
Giuseppe, why don't you jump in, man? What do you got?
The I think, Steve, you have an actual plan. I think that's why you became a targeted individual. That's amazing that you released the names and addresses of all those globalist elite parasites. That's just it, you know? Like David Icke,
And I want to win.
There you go. I admire you greatly for that. Like David Icke, we interviewed him a few weeks ago. He said, you know, the hidden hand is in the room and the door is closed now. So, you know, those addresses, if Antifa was real, that's where they'd be going. And Black Lives Matter was real, that's where they'd be going. Nobody's going there, though.
I said to all the anarchists, I says, why don't you, instead of going in one protest in the middle of London outside a bank, why don't you superglue every cash machine in the UK simultaneously? Be more effective. But they never do that, you see. And they never do that because they're not run by anarchists. They're run by MI5.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like in the States.
Well, and I learned all that when I was at uni. I learned all that socialist worker, the anarchists. I knew them all. And when I pointed out MI5 and pulled out MI5 in front of 25,000 socialist workers at conference, they all, oh no, Steve, you've got to build working class consciousness. None of them wanted to get rid of the MI5 agent, the man called Thursday, sat in the room with them. None of them. And that's when I moved to the underground like 18 years ago. So I kind of came in 98 to 2000, and then 9/11 happened, and then the Jewish angle came in when I learned about Rothschild, and then I was on TIU. Okay, so that's kind of the pretext there. Sorry, I'll go back to the floor there.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting, Ogner's site, the Information Underground, was really unique back in the day. There was nothing else like it on the net. And it's interesting that Ogner was there for you, and it says a lot about his personal character in real life. So that's really cool. And you know, Ogner just recently finished writing a huge tome on this COVID hoax, a book that's over 1,000 pages. So we're going to have him on again soon and talk about that, because he goes into great detail about proving what a hoax this whole COVID thing is.
Yeah, I saw that data. It was good data. As soon as you take away the comorbidity, there are zero COVID deaths.
Oh, it's insane. What they've done is they've rebranded the typical cold flu season, and then they released a very attenuated, as in weak, gain-of-function bioweapon just to scare the living daylights out of the average normie. Boom, did it work? Look at all these people wearing masks, which is degenerative to their health. So now they claim it's a second wave, based on a PCR test that it doesn't work. It's absolutely useless. Combined with the fact that this is the change of season, you know, Oriental medicine, 6,000 years, there's books as thick as old kind of yellow pages in New York City to tell you how to treat change of season health issues, because it affects people's health and negatively. You get sick, you get cold flu. And so that's the second wave. The amount of gaslighting is just so insane. And now what's really going to come is a more powerful, am I knocked off?
No, you're there.
Somebody just tried to call me on Skype. Is a more powerful bioweapon, Steve and Scorpio. Have you seen those sinister videos of Bill Gates and his brutally ugly wife smirking like, wait, do you see what's coming next? So, they're just satanically evil.
Yeah, and he said that something like, this will get people's attention,
right,
the next one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're gonna have
I think
to go
you're being very
them.
Kind to call and his wife a wife. I'm not so sure that's what it really is.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Well, shall we talk Steve, about I just want to touch upon one thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about these, the protests in London and the massive crackdown and this completely unnecessary lockdown. You said it had something to do with the banks going to negative interest rates. Maybe you could touch upon that because we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left.
Yeah, so if we just talk in a general point about how COVID, the issue, has been used as a vehicle to not only disguise the destruction of the economy, but also to try and promote the solution to the same problem they've posed. And this is all in the same breath of where the IMF is offering bribe loans to any country that has lockdown and COVID measures like mask wearing. So you can actually see the IMF as the center of these tentacles that we're going to have to go after. In the UK, it's going to become more and more violent, okay? The police are going to get more and more ambitious. We're going to have to start putting eye masks on their face so they get the message. We're going to have to start taking the CCTV out. We're going to actually have to start taking the police down. If the military get involved, that's up to them if they want to get involved. But the police, they're the ones enforcing the pedos, the murderers, the thieving, the vote rigging. The police are the biggest criminals of them all. Just because they wear a uniform doesn't mean to say they're not breaking the law. They are. They're just the biggest firm in town. That's all. Backed with Jewish finance. And they have been for many, many hundreds of years since Culloden. So we need to start having citizens' defence teams. We need to start targeting people who take those IMF loans, traitors, treasonous traitors, and we need to start blinding the police, okay? We need to start tar and feathering them, and we cling firm to lampposts. We do whatever we want. If they escalate, we escalate. And I say to everyone in the UK, go north. Go north. Don't stay in the south. If you're going to form a baseline in a place where you're not going to be a minority and you're going to outnumber them, go north. Go to Scotland, go to Yorkshire, go to Ireland, yeah? And you make a stand there with people who are, in general, willing to have a fight of it. You don't go in somewhere like London where you're heavily, heavily outnumbered.
Excellent point. Okay,
That's why I just want to keep it a simple message like that.
Yeah, the interesting thing you mentioned about the IMF loans, most people don't realize that the Soros-driven invasion by illegal immigrants, the immigrants, the aliens fund it by taking, you know, high-interest microloans from Jared Kushner's company and Soros companies and Wall Street derivative companies, and then they come here because they think they're going to have an opportunity, and then they get pinched by ICE, And then they go back and they have to put up the house they own in Guatemala, the house they own in Costa Rica to get back because they so want to get here. And so these globalist parasites get them every which way, and nobody realizes that's not a spontaneous migration. It's mm-hmm. paid for by high interest payday microloans from Jewish parasites.
They're feeding on the poor.
Yeah, right. And exactly. And bathrooms and water and the whole deal, man. And they're even giving them rides part of the way. They didn't walk all the way up. That's absurd. Steve, we're down to the last minute. Do you have a website or any way that people can reach your information or find you on the net?
Yeah.
I've got a Telegram chat, so I might decide to release that. I've got a Gab account, but I don't want to release that just yet until I've got a decent sound card, yeah, so I can actually have my radio show. So I did do a couple of radio shows recently on Podbean and that, but they don't allow allow the live chat function, which I kind of like wanted, and my sound card is a bit dodgy. So I'm going to try and rectify that issue and maybe do something like Spreaker, like Blackbird 9 has used Spreaker, Nordfront used Spreaker, but they only give you 15 minutes unless you pay. So,
okay.
You know, it's more of an issue. If I can get like a server going, and I'll be able to like have control of my own podcast.
Okay, Steve, that's it. We got the music coming up here, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again soon. Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye bye.